Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. We pray for the leading and help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that we will be your favorite children indeed, that you will bring us closer and closer to you. Yes, closer and closer to you, Lord. Bring us closer and closer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Really good to see you. And it's always wonderful when we come together again after a short separation. Amen. Right. And I bring you greetings from the prophet. He's in the Philippines now, and he's been preaching there all week. And next Sunday, he's going to be preaching in... Oh, really? You know something I don't know? Maybe it's meant to be a surprise for me. I see. But I was going to say, according to what I know, that he will be preaching in Dr. Cho's church. That's the church that is in the Guinness Book of Records for being the largest church, you know, in the world, at least for a certain period. They have more than 700,000 members, and it's a powerful church. And next Sunday, he'll be speaking there in the morning. If you are awake, you can catch up with him. Amen. Well, there's a song I've been singing, and I thought I'll share it with you. Would you like to know a song? It says, "You are. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are, you are my everything." Try it again. "You are the love of my life. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything." Sing it one more time. "You are the love of my life." Come on. "You are the love. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Hallelujah. Is that a good song?
Yes.
You know, this is the kind of song that guys sing to girls. And this is the kind of song that girls like to be sung to. You know. And you can see that often many things that are meant for God ends up being given to a woman. You know. But the love of God and the worship of God is what becomes perverted into the worship of a woman, which often ends up in disaster. And I'll explain why. The reason is that, I mean, if you're a lady, you know you're not God. Do you see what I'm saying? You should never accept that anyone will put you in the place of God. You should never feel flattered when someone does for you what they should be doing for God. When someone says to you what they should be saying to God. Do you see? You should never go with someone who makes you their God when you know you're not God. Because down the road, they're going to find out that you're not God. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's when they're going to do what all people do when they're disappointed. Do you see what I'm saying? They have their straw dipped into an empty can. You don't seem to understand that. You know how you put your straw in a can of Coke and you start to draw on it? It feels good until there's nothing left in the can. Do you see what I'm saying? And when I'm saying that when a guy says, you are my God, it's like they put their straw in a can that has nothing in it. And very soon, they're going to stop sucking on it. You should go with someone who has their straw dipped into God. Do you see? God is the only true source of endless love that they can supply to you. Does it make sense? Yeah. So you should go with someone who loves God more than you. Because they will never run out of love for you.
That's right.
Does it make sense? Yeah, they will never run out of love for you. So the more the person comes closer to you, the more you must push them closer to God. No, you say, no, go to God, go to God, go to God. Because what they find in God will always include you. Always. What they find in God will always place you in the right place in their lives. It will always ensure that they treat you right. It will always ensure that they relate right. What they find in God will always do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when someone starts to sing to you, you are the love of my life, you should be singing. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. You sing and you start to jump. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. By that point, you should be stepping back. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Does that sound like what you want to tell the Lord this morning? I want you to sing this song again. Sing it to God. Don't let someone sing this song to you. Sing it to God. Let it come from you to God. Hallelujah. You can sit down if you want. That's okay. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my sing it again. You are the love of my life. Oh, you are the love of my life. You are the hope that I dream to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get into the word. Now, we're beginning our Feeding 527 season. Feeding 527 is a time when we take one of the books that the teachings and the doctrines that have been taught by our prophet, and we go through where, in a way where everybody has their copy of the book. So do you have, right? Whoa. All right. She didn't bring the books, she said. So next Sunday, everybody's going to have a copy of the book. Amen? Amen. But the book I'm talking about is, where is it? Bottom? 1, 2. All right. Okay. So the book is Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor and How Tithing Christians Can Become Rich. Amen. Now, rich in the church is not a bad word. Hallelujah. And God is not against wealth. God is a God that blesses people even with wealth. Amen. So, I'm sharing from chapter 14 of this book. And I'm going to be reading lots of it to you. Amen. Because I want the writer to speak to you. I want the prophet himself and our pastor to really speak to you and teach you himself. Amen. So in chapter 14, we talk about how tithers fulfill the laws of wealth creation. Now, how people become rich is often a mystery, and people is something that people have studied for a long time. I mean, the mystery of wealth and how people become rich. Many people think that you become rich by winning the lottery, But you know that many people who win the lottery actually end up right back where they were before they won the lottery. And some even go into the minors after that. Some go because they acquire habits they can't sustain. Yeah. And you see, a lottery win is not guaranteed income. You see, you can't live on hoping that you will win the lottery every week. And the lottery is not designed for you to win every week. Otherwise, they would be losing. You see, so how people get wealthy is mysterious. Hallelujah. But wealth is created in various ways and comes through various things. And there are many habits and practices that lead to people becoming wealthy. Amen. And so what we are studying is how tithers fulfill some of those things that make people wealthy. Are you getting it? We do know that when you tithe, you will be blessed. Yes, and we say that casually all the time. But what is the element in tithing that actually activates the blessing, other than the supernatural part of it? Are you understanding me? And that's what we are sharing, okay? So number one, tithing Christians fulfill the law of humility, which creates wealth. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of humility, which creates wealth. Now, Psalms 75 and verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down and setteth up another." Okay? God is the judge. He putteth down and setteth up another. Now, when people tithe, what they're doing is to acknowledge God as the one behind what they have. I mean, what does it mean to tithe? To tithe is to give 10% of everything that God gives you back to Him. To give 10% of everything that God gives you back to Him. Now, many Christians and non-Christians alike struggle with the concept of tithing. They feel that, you know, why should you take so much money or so much of whatever has been given you and to give it just back to God? But it's not strange. We're all like that. Even little kids, you know, you buy them a toy and you take it back and they're crying. They don't even want to give you what you just gave to them. Have you tried that with a kid before? Yeah. Yes. I mean, you can go and experiment that in the back and come right back. You will see that even when you just gave it to her, you just gave this to the child, and then you want it back. And they say, no. You know, and if you take it from them, they'll scream, they'll cry, they'll complain, they'll criticize, they'll murmur, they'll do everything they can to ensure that you don't get back what you... It never even occurs to them what it means for giving them more. You don't know how many of these I have. And I just gave you one. And I say, give it to me, and you won't give it to me. So what makes you think that I'm going to give you number two and number three and number four? But that's what people do. Their hands are open for number three, number four. They put number one behind them. They want you to give number two, number three, number four. And when you're asking for even just a little bit of number one, they say no. Are you understanding it? So I don't want you to be that type of Christian. Amen. Amen. A Christian who tithes is often demonstrating the quality of humility. And humility anywhere makes people successful. Right? Humility makes people successful. Pride always brings people down. You know, there's a secular book, just a book on leadership by a guy called Jim Collins. The title of the book is How the Mighty Fall. And they're talking about how big companies, do well, and then they reach a peak and they start to decline, you know. And he has a chapter in it that I think the title of the chapter, let me see if I can find it real quick. It said the title of the chapter, I think, is The Stages of Decline, Five Stages of Decline. Five stages of decline. And the five stages of decline, stage number one is what they call hubris born of success. Hubris born of success. That means hubris is a word that means, pride and arrogance. In fact, why don't we find it? Did Google come to church today? Okay, let's ask Brother Google, see what he says about the word hubris. Real quick, please. Kawi, do you have hubris? Excessive pride. Excessive pride or self-confidence. I don't see that. Oh, up there. Okay. Excessive pride or self-confidence. That's what makes it, right? I don't know, but when I checked it, I just have something here from Wikipedia that says, hubris describes a personality quality of extreme foolish pride or dangerous overconfidence. Yeah, it says often in combination with or synonymous with arrogance, right? It says it typically describes behavior that defies the norms of behavior or challenges the gods, and which in turn brings about the downfall or nemesis of the perpetrator of hubris. That's right. Okay, so they're saying that companies and organizations that go down because of the hubris that comes or that they develop as a result of their success. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And many human beings are like that. Many individuals become proud and arrogant with success, with stability, with security, once we are sure that we have attained something that most people cannot easily attain, once we start to acquire things that people struggle to have, things that people, seem to be looking everywhere hard to find, and we have them, we start to become proud. Do you understand? And that is the beginning of the downfall of any human being, any organization, or any entity, really. The Bible says, pride goes before a fall. Are you understanding me? Pride goes before a fall. When people become proud, they begin to go down. So it is important as a Christian for you to acknowledge the source of what you have. Anything, including even breathing. Do you understand? Because you just have to be in a little place where you can't breathe for just a few seconds, and you start to see how uncomfortable it feels. Do you understand? But we all wake up in the morning with a sense of entitlement to breath, and good breath for that matter, and good air for that matter. And when we can't, when the place feels a bit stuffy, we open the windows and, you know, it should just come in and we are entitled to it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that is fine. But who is behind it? And acknowledging that person is also important. And it's a sign of humility. And every time you pay tithe, you're acknowledging the one who is behind your existence. The one who is behind even the fact that you have a job. Yeah, even that you have a job. Because for every job that you do, there are so many other people who could do it. Do you understand? The first evidence of that is that when you went to school to learn how to do that job, you were not the only one in the class. Every time you go to school, just count how many classmates you have. It gives you the count of how many people can do what you can do. And so anytime you, and that's even just from your school. Do you see? So when you get selected to do what you can do, you need to have an attitude of gratitude. Do you see? You need to understand that it is God who has kept you. It is God who has protected you. And God protects us. And when God protects and delivers us, he does not send us notice that I just protected you.
No.
I just, and so it's because of that, we take things for granted. Do you see? You know, Kawi, where's that video I gave you? You know, someone sent me a video this week, and I thought this video is a great illustration of God's protection. Look at it. Just show it to us real quick. A very short clip. Is it coming? It's here? Okay.
Look at it.
This, the child is not even aware of what is against him. And do you see his obsession with his game and some cell phone or something he's doing, and he's just obsessed with that. And to him, that's all that matters. And that's all. I don't care about anything. I don't care about. But you see, while you're not caring about anything, or are not even mature enough to be able to know what you must be caring about, God has done his part and has built a hedge around you, you know, and has kept you and protected you from so many things that could change your life, that could change your life permanently. Yes! So many things. So, so many things. There are many people who leave their homes and don't return. And you're not better than any of those people. Many people who don't have jobs. Many people who just, their health just seems to fail them. You know, the health is failing. It's not like they're even doing anything. Some people, they just can't. They are just not strong. You seem to be healthy all the time. Do you understand? And it's humility to acknowledge its source and to recognize that much as you can't explain it, why me and not her or him? I don't know. But I just have my God to thank. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. For anything that you have or that you enjoy that others do not have or that others do not enjoy, God's expectation is not that you would walk around with arrogance and say that you are entitled to it. And even fight people who try to take it from you. Do you see what I'm saying? But rather, we're supposed to have an attitude of gratitude, which is reflected in humility.
Are you getting it?
Humility. So when someone takes a part of their income and gives it to God and says, Lord, this is for you, that they are walking in the principles of humility. They are actually acknowledging that there is someone, there must be someone behind all of this. Do you understand? And I don't want to go without acknowledging that someone. I want to recognize that someone as having made a contribution to my life. And that's what the verse we read, Psalm 75 and verse 6. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. God is the judge. God is the judge. See, God rules in the affairs of men. God is involved in our lives all the time. And it says, God is the judge. He puts down one and setteth up another. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And it is humility to acknowledge that God is the one who has done something. Amen. It says here, it is the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. Wealth comes from God. That's what the Bible says. It says God is the judge. God is the one who puts people up. Wealth comes from God. And sometimes you can't even explain what parameters he uses, you know, but it doesn't change the fact that it comes from him. It comes from him. It comes from him. Sometimes you see people whom, in your estimation, do not deserve the wealth that they have. Do you understand? Yes. Where you are concerned, you wouldn't give them what they have. You see? But God sees more than you see. God knows more than you know. There are many people who are being blessed even because of somebody in their family. Yeah. They are being blessed because of someone in their family. Someone who's done something, you know, sometimes even generations before. And this person will be reaping the blessing in his lifetime at this time. Are you getting it? So it is important for us to know that paying tithes activates humility in our lives. When a person pays tithes, it says he demonstrates his recognition of the God factor in his very existence. He demonstrates his respect for God's input in his life. He declares his gratitude to God for helping him. A person who tithes, therefore, fulfills the law of humility. Tell somebody, I will fulfill the law of humility. Amen. Right? Humility has been shown to be an important factor in wealth creation. Arrogant, wealthy empires have crumbled through their pride. Political parties have lost their power through pride and complacency. Successful companies have been wiped out when the management lost their original humble attitudes. You know, when people are starting businesses, you see how humble they are. You know, yesterday someone was knocking, ringing the bell at a home. And I looked at him from downstairs. It was a guy standing there. I was just wondering, what does this guy want? You know, Jason went out to meet him. And I asked Jason, what did the guy want? The guy was going from door to door, dropping his business card. He's a landscaping guy and looking for business. And he was going from door to door. You know, when he rang the bell, you know, there was no response for a while. And I thought he would leave. I was standing up there looking at him. Because I wanted him to leave. But he remained there. He remained there. He stood like this for a while. Then he changed and stood like that. And he was just standing there in humility, just waiting So then Jason goes to open the door and collects the card for him and he leaves. Do you understand? Now tomorrow, if this guy was to get the job and one day I come by and I'm complaining about how he didn't trim the lawn or something, and then he starts to have an attitude. So you see, when we want something, humility seems to come. But when we have it, then pride seems to take over. Tell somebody, I will never forget that God is the source of all that I have. Amen. Yeah. It says, paying tithes helps you remember that you did not make it on your own. Paying tithes causes you to bow your knees to your Creator each time you receive money. Paying tithes causes you to humble yourself before a priest whom you would have otherwise despised. Many arrogant rich people have no time for priests or pastors. They see them as hyenas and vultures scavenging for the scraps of the successful and wealthy. When wealthy people have to pay tithes for the upkeep of these irrelevant members of society, it will help them to stay humble. Are you understanding? Because many people think that pastors are not important and priests. But a pastor or a priest is a very important inclusion in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, very important inclusion in your life. The Bible says they can cause a blessing to rest upon your house. Are you understanding it? Do you want to see that verse? Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 30. Let me just show it to you real quick before I go on to point number two. Now, Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 30. It says, and the first fruits, the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations shall be the priests. Can you see that? He says, ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough. Then it says, that he may cause the blessing to rest upon thine house. Can you see that? He may cause the, when you say he's the cause of it, means it's because of him. It's happening because of him. A blessing can rest upon your life because of the priest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So everybody needs a priest who pronounces a blessing upon you. When a priest says you are blessed, you should believe it. Are you getting it? Because when an anointed person says you are blessed, God is with him. Let me show you another bonus verse. First Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. Look at that verse real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. That one says, and the Lord, it says, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Can you see that? The Lord was with him and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. Can you see that? The Lord was with him and the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. So all that Samuel had to say was that you are blessed. And the Lord would not let those words fall to the ground. The Lord will place a blessing on you because someone that he has anointed has called for the blessing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. A person that God has anointed, that's why we often show the communion with the prophet. Because there is no doubt that God is with him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, we have no doubt that God has anointed him to do what he's doing. And when such a person says you are blessed or speaks a blessing over your life, you should believe it. Because God will honor it. God will back it. It's like a police officer. When a police officer says you are arrested and takes you to the station doesn't just throw you out. Who is this person that has brought you here? And they just let you go. No. the government stands behind him. Do you see? So when the police officer says you are arrested, the government says you are arrested. Yeah. They put it on your record. Even if they let you go later, they still put it on your record that they have arrested you before. Hallelujah. We need to respect the people that God appoints for us. Amen. Amen. Any businessman who stays humble will generate wealth for himself. Yes. And any Christian who maintains a humble attitude will create wealth for himself. Paying tithes forces you to humbly submit to the priest and to the pastor of the day for your own good. Amen. Amen. If you're humble, you'll do well financially. Amen. Yeah, if you're humble, if you don't want to, if you don't try to show off and live above your means and try to impress people and try to acquire things you can't afford because you don't want to stay at a certain place. Sometimes people are shy of where they live or shy of what they drive. You know, they are embarrassed about it and they take leaps into things they can't afford. And they end up being poor. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But humble business people like the guy who came to my home yesterday, if he can stay humble and go from house to house and beg them to cut their grass, he will soon rack up a long list of people and then he will start to be wealthy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Humility, even we as a church, one of the things we need to do is to be humble and go inviting people to church. Yes, and talking to people about Christ. Talking to strangers about Christ. And not being shy. If they say no, well, there's no shame. There is no shame. There is no shame. But when you feel embarrassed by people turning down your invitation, you're going to be poor. You will have a lot of empty chairs in your church. When you feel embarrassed by people turning down your invitation, you say, let's go with me to seek the Lord. And they say, no. They say, who is the Lord? The what? And you are embarrassed by that. You will not have people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So let's be humble and God will bless us. Amen. Number two, tithing Christians fulfill the law of sowing and reaping, which creates wealth. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of sowing and reaping, which creates wealth. Every farmer creates wealth for himself when he sows his seeds in the right season. The oldest law of wealth creation is embodied in the principle of sowing and reaping. Ancient farmers who did not know modern economic theories at least knew that they would reap a harvest if they sowed the right seeds. The Bible is replete with scriptures that teach on the principles of sowing and reaping. Paying tithes activates the law of sowing and reaping because the tithe is a seed that you sow in the house of God. Everyone, therefore, who pays tithes sows a seed and qualifies for a harvest. The scriptures below show the blessings which result from sowing seeds. These scriptures predict that after sowing your tithes in sorrow, you will reap in joy. They also show why the tithe will be multiplied and given back to you many times over. And the first one is Psalms 126 and verse 5, which says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears, Psalms 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Can you see that?
They that sow in tears. So what it means is that sowing is accompanied with some pain. I mean, these tears are not tears of joy. What do you think? Yes. Anytime you sow, you are actually postponing gratification. You are postponing your consumption. Anything you sow, you could have eaten. Do you see what I'm saying? You could have eaten what you're sowing. So people who make an argument and they say that I don't even have enough, or I don't have enough, or I'm broke, so I don't have to pay my tithe. Or if I pay my tithe, I'm going to be in difficulty. You see, that difficulty you are avoiding is these tears. You are avoiding the tears. To avoid the tears is to avoid the joy. Are you getting it? God knows when he asks you to sow that he's calling you to shed some tears. Because sowing is never pleasant. Apart from the work that goes into it, into sowing, you are actually postponed. Something you could have had for yourself, you are giving away. You are giving away even at the risk of not getting anything out of it. Because it is not everything that is sown that germinates into a tree. Sometimes the birds go and pick it up. Do you understand? But it has never kept farmers from sowing. They know that the way to a harvest is sowing. The way to have a tree of oranges is to give up the one orange you have. You have to give it up. You have to say, no orange juice today. Today is water. And then you have to watch your orange go down. And you're going to plant it. And when you plant it, a time will come when you can have a tree to yourself. And others who don't know or who didn't see you when you were crying will be jealous of you. And they'll just wonder what's going on with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is the scripture. You see, and we're not talking about logic. We do logic and things when we go to school. School is for logic. It's for training the brain to think sequentially. That's how, what the purpose of school. But church is faith. Church is about believing. Do you understand? The Bible says, without faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, without believing. That's what, even what we are practicing is called a faith. It's a faith, a system of beliefs. Do you see? And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you understand? So it may defy logic. And if you allow someone to talk you out of paying your tithes by using logic, it is like letting someone tell you in class not to study but to use faith. Does it make sense? Just try to use faith in class. When they say, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, you just say, forget about it. Just believe any number. Say it's 8. Just believe it. Use faith. Just believe it. 2 + 2 is any number you choose. Any, I mean, if it was up to that, I would say 2 + 2 is a million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. So we don't, it's not logic we apply when we are walking with God. It is faith. Amen. And God says, if you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. It is painful when you're parting with 10% when even 90% is not enough. Or even 100% is not enough. Even if they topped it up to 150%, it will still not be enough. Do you see what I'm saying? And how many agree with me that for many of us, our salaries and our paychecks, I mean,
Even if they doubled them, it will still not be enough. True or false? Yes. So if no matter what I do, I'm still within the arena of not enough, then I'm going to take a chance on faith. Yes, I'm going to take a chance on faith. And people who stake the lottery are doing exactly that. They are doing it because out of the not enough, they take a little bit and they sow it with faith in tears. Do you understand? Yes. And after 3 years of sowing and sowing and sowing, then they reap sometimes in joy. Sometimes. Yes. And sometimes you can see some of those who stake the lottery, see them wavering in faith by not putting too much. Yeah, they'll buy the ticket, but they put a small amount on it. There is no reaping without sowing. In Christianity, we sow and we reap. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a law that God has. Think about it. That is the rule by which God has provided for our existence on earth. Everything you ever ate was sown. Do you see? Yeah. Humanity is sustained by the law of sowing and reaping. All our food comes from sowing and then reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. That's how the earth is sustained. And if you live in this world, you cannot excuse yourself from those laws. They will apply to you as well. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, this, here's the second verse, Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be given to you. Give, and it shall be given to you. Can you see that? It says, give, and what? It shall be given. How I wish this verse would just begin from, it shall be given to you. How many wish to? Yes. Yes. It shall be given to you. It shall be given to you. It shall be given to you. Many times we're in church and we hear proclamations. You will receive it. It shall be given to you. What we are skipping is the condition. You can't be angry at the first word and smile at the rest of the line. You can't resent give, but love the it shall be given unto you. The way to enter receiving is giving. Do you understand? So it says, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What that means is that your giving is proportionate to your receiving. Do you understand? If you're a type of person who gives nothing, or always gives at the least cost, give at the least cost, including giving things you don't need. Things that don't work. Things that are cheap and that will break soon. Those are the only gifts that you give. Do you see? Yeah, some people specialize in impressing people. So they like to give things that are, they'll go find something, you know, that's flamboyant but useless. And they wrap it. And somehow a nice wrapper makes everything look good. And always draws gratitude from the receiver. Until they find out what's in there. Can you see that? But the Bible says, if you're a giver, if you're a giver, it shall be given to you. It shall be given to you. It means you can't give something away. Do you understand? If you give and it shall be given to you, means you never lose anything. It means many things just leave your present, but they just enter your future. You may be without it this afternoon, but it's not lost. It's still in your life. It's coming right back. It says, give, and it shall be given to you. It shall be given to you. It shall be given to you. A good measure of it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over of it, whatever was given, shall be given to you. It says, men shall give it into your bosom. Men shall give it into your bosom. Men shall give it to your bosom. Men shall give it to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet. Can you give us some other version that doesn't use meat and, you know, withal, so that the people can relate with it? Give us some non-withal version. Kawi, are you bringing it? Right? Give, and it shall be given to you. They will pour it into your lap. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Hey. Nobody ever preached like Jesus. Jesus said the same standard. So you go on giving cheap things. Do you see? Yeah. What you're doing is scheduling lots of cheap gifts. Yeah. Sometimes we wonder how you hear other people's stories of breakthroughs and even jobs. How people find sometimes the best jobs and, you know, different kinds of stories. And you wonder why those things don't happen to you. Well, according to this verse, you should check your seeds. Because you're always planting seeds with holes in them. Do you understand? It says, give and it shall be given. Do you have yet another verse? Another version. Just find yet another version and let's read and understand the scriptures. Give and it shall be given to you a good measure. It says, if you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it shall be used to measure what is given back to you. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. I tell you, you don't give things away. Nothing leaves your life. If it came into your life, it stays with you. You can relocate it, you know, but it's still in your life. And eventually it's going to show up. And this is just a principle just for giving. Just give. It applies to anything people give. So ask some people give hatred. Imagine, just apply the scripture to hatred. Give hatred, you will receive. Your hatred will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever standard you use in dishing out that hatred,
Whether it's by their race or by their color or by their educational standard or by their age or by their status in life, whatever the standard is, large or small, that same standard will be used to measure what is giving back to you. Yep. Yep. Some people are sowing rebellion. Yeah. Sometimes some young people are just a problem for their parents. It's just a seed. It's just a seed. Don't be surprised if one day you give birth to your children and you realize that you might as well just call your home a zoo. Yeah, just change the address of the home and say local zoo. Because nobody can be controlled in that environment. Yes. No one can be controlled. No one will do what anybody says. No one will obey or respect any rules. The same standard that you use, you sow that seed, is your turn to reap it. A good measure, pressed down, shaking to, you know, sometimes when they are fetching the popcorn, you know. Popcorn is one of those things that fills the bag so quickly. Yes, and there's usually lots of room. You get it? And sometimes I feel like collecting it from the person and just arranging the popcorn properly and giving it back to the person to let me get my money's worth. They have a way of magically just dipping the thing, and before you know it, the thing is full. Yeah. Same thing with soda, with ice. Recently, I bought some Sprite, you know, like two sips. I mean, the first one, of course, being a little deeper. But after that, the second one, and it was over. I mean, my straw was already beginning to sing. When your straw starts to sing, it's a sign that it's finished. Yeah. You know? But I had to comfort myself. I said, well, this is not a good drink anyway. The less of it you have, the better. So I just said, it's good. It's just as well that they fill the whole thing with ice so you barely have anything to drink. That's okay. But let's watch out. As we sow, if we sow discord among people, you know, you take stories from people to people, break up friendships, break up relationships, you know, break up church, keep people from coming to church by telling them all kinds of stories and so on. I mean, you're not going to break up God's house and build yours. Do you see? The laws of sowing and reaping will find you. And they'll get you. Do you see what I'm saying? So we should be careful. Don't separate friends by gossips and stories and things that you pass around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Things you pass around which end up destroying and ruining relationships that would otherwise have, you know, flourished perfectly. Do you understand? Don't do that, because you'll be sowing something. One day when you have your relationship that is important, you're going to find that some seeds you have sown are coming back to haunt you. Are you getting it? So this is what the Bible says about giving. And we're saying that it is because tithing involves this element that people can expect to be blessed when they are tithers. Do you understand? Because tithing involves, or it activates these laws. I tell you, the law of sowing and reaping is a law. Genesis chapter 22 and verse, or is it chapter 22 verse 8? Or 8 verse 22, I'm not sure which one. But just tell me which one it is. Genesis chapter 8:22. All right, 8:22. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Look at that. But it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat,
and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Are you getting it? Now, what it means is that whatever is driving the more familiar ones, like day and night, is also driving the first one, which is seed time and harvest. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you put a science behind day and night, and summer and winter, and cold and heat, you probably have to believe that that same science will drive seed time and harvest. These are laws we came to meet which don't change for anyone. There is no country anywhere in the world where there's no night. Yeah. Do you understand? Yes. There's night and day. There's winter and stuff. These are given. God allows us to maneuver and live our lives within the context. This is how it is. This is the earth. It says, while the earth remains, these are the laws that govern the earth. And you get to choose to maneuver and move around within this context. One of them is seed time and harvest time. Seed time and harvest time. It's not true just for Christians. It's true for everyone. Just like day and night and summer and heat are not just for Christians. Do you understand? Seed time and harvest time. Seed time and harvest time. You plant a seed and you reap the seed. You plant a seed, you reap the seed. It applies and works for anyone. It doesn't even give you the option to choose. It will apply to you. Hallelujah. I pray that you sow good seeds for your life. Tell somebody, I will sow good seeds for my life. Amen. And the more seeds you sow, the better a life you can expect. Amen. Amen. Then finally, for today, tithing Christians fulfill the law of prioritization, which creates wealth. Prioritization, which creates wealth. Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. There is no prosperous person who does not fulfill the law of prioritization. When you are young, you need to prioritize your education and put first things first. Without prioritizing education, your youthful years will pass away and you will be bereft of much needed education. You will therefore inflict upon yourself a severe, debilitating poverty that lasts a lifetime. Failing to prioritize education in your youthful life can lead to poverty. Failing to prioritize in any sphere of life always leads to failure. If you filled your stomach with sweets first and were therefore unable to eat proper food, you would not have a balanced diet and you would not be healthy. Once again, it's all about priorities. Companies that fail to remember their priorities always end up in disaster. Churches can likewise forget the reasons why they exist and start to emphasize secular things like success and wealth. But the priority of the church is Christ Jesus and the salvation of this world. And that's why we keep talking about salvation in our church. We keep talking about souls in our church. You should get worried if you haven't heard in a while about souls and witnessing and evangelism and outreach and going out and bringing people. When you haven't heard it in a while, you should walk up to the pastor and say, excuse me, pastor, it looks like we're going off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's easy to go off. In a very busy world today, too many things compete for our attention, and often we lose our priorities. Everything gets mixed up. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
The ability to get your priorities right is important and will always lead to wealth. Tithing represents an important test in prioritization. When a person learns to pay his tithes, he learns to put God first. Tithing helps you acquire the habit of dealing with the most important thing first. This habit of prioritization will extend to other areas and lead to success in life. This is one of the reasons why tithers become wealthy people. Because they learn the art of prioritization. They learn the art of prioritization, which is to know what comes first. You know, lots of things to do. But which of these many things must be done first? Your ability to get that right is often a determinant of how successful you'll be. And I like the example of students, because many times students have it all mixed up. You know, because when you go to school, you meet so many people, there are so many activities, there's so much to do. Sometimes if you even count the number of hours you spend in class, in terms of the number of classes that have been scheduled for you, and you count them against the hours for other activities and social activities, you realize that you are either you're in a gym, you're in a sports club, and it shouldn't even be called school. There's so many things to do. There is some party every night. There's some activity every night. There's some place to go every day. There's some activity. I mean, there are signs, sometimes posters, different things advertising different events and so many things all the time that in your mind you're cluttered up and you're not sure even why you are there. Sometimes people are too tired from other things to attend class. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you can be so tired from doing any other thing in the school that you can't do the main thing you came to the school to do? You're just tired. You need sleep. That's a problem. And that's going to hurt you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And as a Christian, the Bible says we must seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God means we must seek other things too. He's just saying where God must belong and God must come first. God must be first. God must be first. So when you have a gift, you have some money, you have an income or whatever it is that God gives to you, God expects you to think about Him first. Do you understand? God expects you to put Him first. And what is done first is important. What is done first is very important. It doesn't matter that it was done later. Do you see what I'm saying? But when you do something first, there's an element of honor that goes with it. Do you see? Yeah, there's an element of honor that goes with it. Either who gets chosen first, who gets minded first, who gets attended to first. There's an element of respect that goes with that. And God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. God wants you to put Him first. God wants you to learn the art of putting what belongs first, first. Do you understand? Is a question you should ask yourself every day when you wake up in the morning. What must come first? Do you see? When you're in school, what must come first? Even at work, what must come first? In your relationships, what must come first? That there is an order, you must always find out what must come first. If you get that right, you're setting yourself up for success. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not just to do with the things of God, but what it is that the things of God or following and pursuing God is teaching us how to live as well. Do you understand? That there is something that must come first. When you put what must come first last, and you put what must come last first, you always run into issues. Do you see? You always run into issues. When you get into your car, you put it in drive before you start the car. You see that the car is starting to react. Do you see that just the wrong order of the right things still leaves you standing in the same place? You're in the right car. It is your car. You have the right keys, but you have the process wrong. So you put down your parking brake. You slam the gear into drive. And the car, some of these new cars, they won't even start. I mean, the car won't even mind you. Do you see? Yeah. And sometimes life doesn't mind you because you have the whole thing mixed up. You have everything mixed up. Yes, you have some boyfriend or girlfriend. It's good, but he's not first. God wants to be first. Yeah, God wants to be first. That's why it's not working. Yeah? That's why it's not working. Because he has taken a place, or she has taken a place that belongs to God. When you start to see that your whole life, your relationship with God is starting to suffer, since you got with this girl or this guy, you're backsliding. Your interest in God, your interest in church is all starting to go down. You should know that something is not right. God must always be first. God must always be first. And everything else must find its place around God. Anything in your life that cannot accommodate the God of your life is not worth being in your life. Anything that cannot live with your God in your life does not belong in your life. And you must be bold, courageous, and willing to let it go. When you let it go, God will let the right things come into your life. I told you from the beginning, you don't go with somebody who becomes God to you. You will be dipping your straw into an empty can. And you will soon find out there is nothing to suck on. But when you go with someone who loves the Lord, who is into God, God will give him what it takes to love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to go home?
No.
Why not? It's time to close. What? It's time to close. Okay, well, you stand to your feet. I'll tell you something. All right. Hallelujah. We'll continue next Sunday. Amen. I want you to come back next Sunday. Come with someone. Amen. And we'll continue learning about tithing. The book is right here. Why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. You can get this on Amazon. You can get an e-copy for your device so you can read it all the time. But there's lots in there to learn about tithing. Amen. I want you right now to bow your heads as we get ready to close. Just bow your heads and I want you to pray. I'm sure somewhere along the line and somewhere within this message, God has spoken to you. And I want you to pray about what God has spoken to you. Maybe it's about beginning the act of tithing. Maybe you've never tithed. You've never been one of those to give back to God, to give that 10% that belongs to the Lord, to give it back to Him. Maybe you've never done that. But God is speaking to you today. And God is talking to you
Or maybe it is one of the other things we have mentioned. Maybe you have your priorities misplaced. And you have given undue attention and time to things that are not worth the amount of time you have given to them. And you've left the important things. You've left important things. The key things that would build up your life have been left behind. And frivolous things, trivial things, and things that are not important have occupied front row in your life. And you're paying dearly for it. It's been costly and you know it. But God wants to help you today. That's why He sent a message like this your way. And I pray that you would take that message and decide to obey. God is going to help you. I want you to pray about it. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to fix my priorities. Help me to put you first. Help me to put first things first. Give me a discerning mind to understand what belongs first and what belongs where. What should come first and what should come next. Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. Ask the Lord to teach you. Say, Lord, I want to sow. Be one who sows good things. I want to sow love. I want to sow affection. I want to sow seeds that will be a blessing when they become a harvest. I want to sow good seeds. And then I want to be humble, Lord. I want to be humble. I don't want my success, and I don't want anything you've given me to cost me or to be a reason for arrogance and pride, Lord. I don't want any of those things to bring me down. I want you to help me in the name of Jesus. Help me to always remember that it came from you. Whatever I have, it came from you. Whatever I'm enjoying, it came from you. The people around me, they came from you. The opportunities in front of me, it came from you, Lord. Everything comes from you. All blessings come from you. All blessings come from you. And Lord, help me to think about you and be grateful and be humble in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. Sing it, everybody. You are the love of my life. Oh, you are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today and we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to the truth. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will work this message into our hearts. Bless the teaching of your word. Let it remain with us.
Let it alter our lives. May we take decisions and actions based on what we have heard. May we not be hearers of the word only, but make us doers of the word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Now, before we close this afternoon, while every eye is still closed, just one moment, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, to make you a child of God, to make you a true child of God. I'm not talking about becoming a religious person. I'm talking about having a relationship with God that makes you call him your father and that makes him call you his child. I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus and to ask God to forgive your sins so that you can be sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven and not go to hell. Heaven is real and hell is real. And the way to avoid it is to take away what qualifies and disqualifies us from going to heaven and going to hell. We want to ask Jesus to come and take away our sins. So if you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart you're a sinner and you haven't given your life to Jesus, you haven't said the sinner's prayer, you haven't said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. Or you may have said it before, but you didn't follow through with it. You were not serious or have not been serious since you made that prayer and made that commitment. God is so gracious and he's coming your way with one more opportunity. And I don't want you to turn it down. You may be right here in this service, or you may be watching on the internet, or you may be listening to the podcast, but you know what I'm saying is true. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give your life to Jesus. Put God first in your life. Put God first. Maybe you have your priorities misplaced by leaving God out. God is the ultimate inclusion to your life. God is the ultimate. He's the source of everything that you have ever needed. Only God can make your dreams come true. Only God can put meaning into your existence. Only God can save you from running around and going back and forth and not finding what you're looking for. Only God can do it. Don't turn down this opportunity. So while every eye is closed, please, I want you to raise up your right hand just right where you are. I'm going to pray with you. Just stand where you are. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here who's saying, Pastor, I need Jesus? Raise up your right hand. I'll pray with you. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I see your hand. God bless you. Just raise up your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This is Jesus. You are asking Jesus to come into your heart and to make you a child of God and to forgive your sins so you can stand in the right place with Jesus. Just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up and we'll pray together. Right. Now I want everybody to join us as we say this prayer. Say with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins. Say,
Lord Jesus,
please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
And make me a child of God.
I ask you to forgive my sins.
Because I know I'm a sinner.
Say, Lord Jesus,
I know I'm a sinner. And if I died today, I would go to hell because of my sins. But you came to die in my place. So I don't have to go to hell.
So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I apply your blood to my life. Apply your blood to my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you from today. Count me among your children from today. I want to be a true Christian. I want to be a true follower of Jesus. Say with me, devil. Say it again. Say, devil. You and I are done. Say, we are done. I will not serve you. Jesus is my master. And Jesus is my savior. Say, I am a child of God. Say, from today, I am a child of God. God will always be first in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in your book of life. Please write my name. Please write my name. Say, my name is, and mention your name. Say, my name is Joel. Say, please write this name, Jesus, in your book of life. Count me among your children from today. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you for everyone who said this prayer with meaning. You know those you are saving at this moment. I pray, Lord, that you will save them to the uttermost. Save them all the way, Lord. Deliver them from things that hold them back and anything in their lives that is a stumbling block, anything that in their lives is a hindrance, Lord, to them following fully after you. I pray that you remove those things in the name of Jesus. Replace it with an interest in you, a love for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give them visions and dreams that are meaningful. May the Holy Spirit brood over them. May the Holy Spirit talk to them. May the Holy Spirit give them that assurance from within that they are now children of God, that their lives will never again be the same. I pray for your blessing upon them. I pray for your keeping, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, those of you who put up your hands to say this prayer, I want you to come and see me after church. Amen. I'll be standing right here and walk up to me, and I just want to have a little chat with you. Amen. Amen. Well, are you blessed this afternoon? Are you glad you came to church? Sing that song again. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Hallelujah.